This is the Healthy Living Program on OWL Radio, a community service of the Low Vision Resource Center. OWL Radio broadcasts to homes in San Antonio, the Hill Country, San Antonio Methodist Hospital, and being online streaming and smartphone access. I am Martha Attee. Today's topics are how to look and feel healthier in 1 month, according to science. A feng shui strategy to de-stressify your space, and expert advice on organizing your home for a sense of well-being. This show is being recorded on January 11th, 2021, and our first article is from Medium.com, and it's actually from the Business Insider, and it's dated January 20th, 2021. How to look and feel healthier in 1 month, according to science. There are simple actions you can take to make your life healthier. Here are 12 evidence-based things you can start doing today to look and feel great. By Hilary Bruick. There are plenty of health promises out there that might sound great, but most simply don't stack up. However, scientists learn more about how our bodies work, or as they learn more, evidence has mounted in support of some simple things that you can do every day to look and feel healthier in a relatively short amount of time. We're not promising anything extreme here. Your body is complicated. It's a wonderful machine, and it's not going to magically transform like some kind of Hollywood superhero. But here are 12 things you can start doing today that your body will thank you for in just 4 weeks or less. Each of these simple acts starts paying measurable dividends within a month. And things get even better after that with long-term results that scientists have measured in and out of the lab. The simplest, most effective thing you can do for your health is get moving. Even 1 minute of intense, all-out exercise done regularly can improve your fitness level. Becoming physically active changes your body quickly and can even decrease your risk of death. After 2 or 4 weeks, your nervous system is much more efficient at being able to contract your muscles, says Robert Newman, director of Edith Cowan University's Exercise Medicine Research Institute. Scientists have found that it doesn't really matter which kind of workout you do. Just moving around regularly will make your heart, muscles, and mind healthier. Even a few minutes of exertion every week can make a difference. Research from McMaster University found that a set of 3 20-second bursts of all-out vigorous exercise can improve a person's fitness by 20% in 3 months. Lead study author Martin Gibola coined this approach as the 1 minute workout, but it's really 10 minutes of exercise 3 times a week. The routine includes a 2 minute warm-up period, a 3 minute cool-down period, and 3 intense 20-second bursts of sprinting. For athletes who are already very fit, they train this way to maintain fitness. It's a good way to boost your health very, very quickly. When it comes to your plate, consider cutting back on salty processed foods. Most Americans are consuming 50% more of their daily recommended salt intake, this according to the CDC. Over time, this can take a toll. When there's too much salt in your blood, your kidneys have a hard time flushing out impurities, which can raise your blood pressure. Instead of salty snacks, try incorporating more whole foods like bananas and avocados into your diet this month, since those are loaded with potassium, which is a natural antidote to sodium's harmful effects on your blood pressure. There are plenty of other flavor boosters to include in your meals instead of salt, like lemon juice and herbs. Whatever strategy you choose, avoid processed foods, which not only have lots of hidden salt, but also may be linked to higher cancer rates. Befriend fiber. Fibrous foods help keep your energy levels more stable than quick-burning, sugary, or carb-heavy fixes. Fiber also keeps your tummy full and your digestive system humming along smoothly. There's lots of fiber in whole grains, fruits, nuts, and vegetables. Many of the best high-fiber foods also have a low glycemic index, which could spare you from suffering sugar crashes. Adopt a sleep schedule that gets you 7 to 8 hours of shut-eye per night. A lack of sleep can make people more accident-prone, up your odds of getting sick, and put extra stress on your heart. Increasingly, bad sleep is also being linked with cancer. The World Health Organization warns that messing with your sleep schedule by working the night shift is probably carcinogenic. Sleeplessness is being blamed for cases of colon, breast, and prostate cancer as well. Just a week without enough sleep, defined as 4 hours a night for 6 nights in a row, can cause blood sugar levels to spike enough that doctors could diagnose you with prediabetes. Stay hydrated with plenty of water, and maybe even some coffee if that's your thing. Given that an adult's body weight is up to 60% water, it's no surprise that staying hydrated is associated with a host of health benefits. Getting enough fluid ensures your body can efficiently flush out impurities, stay energized, sweat, and more easily pump the blood around. It is also a weight loss strategy. A 2016 study of more than 18,000 people in the United States found that those who drank more water were consistently more satisfied and ate fewer calories on a daily basis. Those people also consumed lower amounts of sugar, fat, salt, and cholesterol than the more dehydrated participants. Another relatively small study in 2015 found that people who stayed well hydrated by drinking water 30 minutes before eating their meals could lose upwards of 5 pounds in 3 months. Drinking coffee also can also improve your heart health and reduce your risk of developing type 2 diabetes and certain kinds of cancer, if you drink coffee in moderation. The idea that a couple of cups of coffee might dehydrate you has been debunked. To improve your complexion, make sure you're moisturizing, protecting, and exfoliating your skin the right way. The best way to care for your skin in the summer is to protect it from the sun's harsh rays. Many dermatologists suggest starting your day with a moisturizer that includes sunscreen, which will both keep your skin looking young and help prevent skin cancer. But there are a few other strategies to improve your complexion in a hurry, according to dermatologist Kathleen Sozi from the Yale School of Medicine. She recommends trying an alpha hydroxy peel pad, which is a kind of weekly, at-home version of a chemical peel. Then slather on a daily moisturizer that contains hyaluronic acid. Finally, consider including an antioxidant serum in your routine, either before moisturizing for the day or on a clean face before you sleep. There's not going to be one magic thing that's perfect for everyone, Dr. Sozi says. It can take a month or more for fresh skin cells to turn over on the surface of your body, so you won't be able to see complete results for at least a few weeks after starting any new skin routine. Health isn't just about your physical body. Your mood is important too. Research shows that 2 50-minute sessions of aerobic exercise per week is enough to boost your mood significantly. If you're looking to take the edge off, exercise can trigger an immediate endorphin-fueled high and also improve your mood longer term. In a small study of 39 women, participants took part in a 50-minute aerobics training session twice per week for 3 months. Researchers found that their moods improved significantly by the end. The women were more optimistic, less anxious, and had a greater sense of self-efficacy. Conversely, researchers tracked more than 7,000 people over 2 decades in the Wisconsin Longitudinal Study and found that older adults tended to get crabbier if they became less physically active as they aged. In other words, being a couch potato can make you less agreeable, less enthusiastic, and more negative. Consider giving meditation a try. Scientific research on meditation is still evolving, but if you're looking to reduce anxiety, keep your blood pressure in check, or lower your stress levels, you might want to give it a try. The National Institute of Health says, meditation may reduce blood pressure, symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome, anxiety and depression, and insomnia, based on what they know so far. More research is needed, but if you're curious, journalist Dan Harris has a website called 10% Happier, and it offers some simple tips on how to get started with a meditation practice. If it's productivity you're after, consider an afternoon nap, but don't make your snooze sessions too long. Feeling drowsy around 2 p.m. is normal and natural, since that's one of the 2 daily lows in our circadian rhythm. During that time, people tend to feel sleepier and colder. You might not notice the other lull because it happens around 3 a.m. If you're looking to make the most of your afternoons, you can try gulping a cup of coffee, then taking a 20-minute snooze. That's short enough that you won't wake up groggy and the right amount of time for the caffeine to kick in and get you going. Short naps have been shown effective at helping air traffic controllers working the night shift stay alert. One small study of 10 Japanese students found that 20-minute coffee naps quickened the students' reaction times on a computer task for an hour after they woke up. Remember that it's all right to not feel great all the time. Being emotionally honest and kind to yourself is great for your mental health. A 2017 set of studies of more than 1,000 people found that those who were more accepting of their negative emotions and thoughts and less judgmental about them were less likely to suffer depressive or anxious symptoms a month later. The researchers said that accepting your emotional states can help you from reacting to and thus exacerbating negative mental experiences. Spend a little time each week visualizing your best possible future self. Imagining being and doing their best can help students perform better and feel better. A 1998 study of nearly 300 high school students revealed that teens who imagined themselves achieving as a result of hard work did better academically and were more persistent. Another study of more than 60 undergraduates found that a month spent regularly contemplating that your, quote, best possible future self might look like boosted the students' moods significantly. Here's how you can try it. Imagine yourself in the future, after everything has gone as well as it possibly could. You have worked hard and succeeded at accomplishing all of your life goals. Think of this as the realization of your life dreams and of your own best potentials. You are identifying the best possible way that things might turn around in your life in order to help guide your decisions now. You might not have thought about yourself in this way before, but research suggests that doing so can have a strong positive effect on your mood and life satisfaction. If you're looking for the best way to thrive long-term, relationships are the key to lasting wellness. Nurturing your most intimate partnerships with others is crucial. The best evidence for this to date comes from an 80-year study of more than 250 men who were sophomores at Harvard during the Great Depression. The same study later expanded to include their offspring, too. The results suggested that close, nurturing relationships were more important to long-lasting happiness than wealth, intelligence, or even genetics. Good relationships don't just protect our bodies, they protect our brains, said study director Walter Waldinger. And those good relationships, they don't have to be smooth all the time. Some of our octogenarian couples could bicker with each other day in and day out, but as long as they felt that they could really count on the other one when the going got tough, those arguments didn't take a toll on their memories. Similarly, a German study published in May found that people who spent a year making a renewed effort to help others or spend more time with friends and family measurably increased their own ratings of satisfaction with life. Whatever new habits you try out this month, know that it takes time to create long-lasting change. The idea is that it takes 3 weeks to form this new habit is a myth. Research suggests it can actually take anywhere from a couple of weeks to more than 250 days. Pardon me. As habit expert Wendy Wood said in the 2014 American Psychological Association conference, quote, "It's easier to maintain the behavior if it's repeated in a specific context. So pick a consistent time of the day, like the first thing in the morning, or a certain place, as in the gym or a nearby park, to help you cement your new activities into a routine." Yale psychologist John Bark previously told Business Insider that whatever you do, it's important to stick to your self-imposed schedule. You don't want to make promises that you don't keep to your body and your mind. It's a relationship like any other, and you have to establish trust. The next article is also from Medium.com, A Feng Shui Strategy to De-stressify Your Space, and it was written January 5th, 2021. Actual science bears this out. Your space affects your mood. A decluttered living environment equals a happier you. One strategy for revamping your home comes from Angie Cho, a New York City-based architect and feng shui practitioner. She says, reassess your environment, beginning with the objects inside of it. In an interview that I will read next, Cho explains that the items we surround ourselves with carry weight, as in emotional weight. Where such objects are concerned, Tucker writes that it might be in your best interest to do an intentional purge. Root out the items that may no longer serve you or may be affecting your mental wellness in harmful ways, like that gift from an ex or that 1,000-piece puzzle that you bought with the best intentions. Just be rid of them. And we'll move to the follow-up interview. Also, this is by Rebecca Tucker. Your sudden urge to clean house is telling you something. And this is actually from November 13th, 2020. Have you found yourself overtaken by a sudden urge to clean and reorganize every inch of your living space? If that fresh start feeling of the election results from last November has you newly energized to change up your space, you're not alone. If you're stress cleaning, you're not alone there either. Studies have linked ritualized behaviors like meticulous cleaning to periods of heightened anxiety, and there's been a fair bit of that going around lately. And then there's the chill in the air coinciding with the year-long pandemic. Whichever driving force speaks to your current state, know it's the perfect time to get your house in order. Your surroundings can have concrete effects on your mental health, and research shows that poor housing quality, a lack of green space, and noise and air pollution are associated with depressive mood. There's also a correlation between clutter and stress, which can exacerbate the lack of focus and even difficulty sleeping. So where to begin? Assess the stuff taking up your space. Reassess your environment on a macro level by looking at the objects within it. The items we surround ourselves with carry weight, said Angie Cho. This may have a strong whiff of Marie Kondo's one space or eliminating items and objects that don't, quote, spark joy. But for all its zeitgeistness, pardon me, there's a clearful usefulness to the KonMari method. Cho calls it, quote, making space, removing items from your home that might be cluttering your mind, in addition to your living quarters. A book that you've had for years and meant to read, for instance, which is preventing you from buying other books until you do read it, get rid of that book. Ditch stuff with associations that cause you stress or anxiety if you're able. Be aware of what you bring into your home and therefore into your mind. Whatever takes up physical space also takes up mental real estate. Consider how you physically interact with your space. There might be a door that has always stuck or a table that you always bump your knee against. Those things might not have bothered you pre-pandemic when time in your home was limited. But if you face a spatial challenge every day, your body and mind need to compensate for it. And so there's parts of your brain that have to expend energy on that problem. The same principle applies to keeping things tidy and mess-free. Try picking up yourself after yourself when you leave a room to eliminate that buildup. Be mindful of your space and time. Once you're done with the small stuff, take a look at your floor plan. Where do you eat? Where do you work? Where do you sleep? If any of these things cross over more often than, say, a couple of times a week, investigate ways in which you can more meaningfully separate them. Create a boundary between when it's time to finish work and when it's time for leisure, says Daisy Vergara, a psychotherapist based in Seattle. This can mean creating an actual or physical boundary, such as setting up a home office, but if that's not possible due to space limitations, relegating certain activities in certain times of the day or devices to certain rooms. Small spatial changes to your home might have a big impact, but there's more to maintaining emotional wellness at home than keeping things tidy and using space effectively. You should also pay attention to where you're inhabiting different spaces within your home. Ray Quinones, a life coach based in Yonkers, New York, says the first step to mindfulness when you're confined to your home is, well, literally the first step. Get out of bed, preferably the same time every day. At the root of anxiety is often a feeling of lacking control, says Quinones, and with this pandemic, the feeling of having no control is amplified for most people. So what can you control? You can control what time you wake up and what time you go to bed. You can establish a routine, whether it's as granular as scheduling each hour of the day, or simply committing to a daily weekday breakfast at 8 a.m. perhaps and at the kitchen table. And that can alleviate anxieties that may stem from feeling helpless over the pandemic, specifically because they shift focus onto more actionable, personal habits. Make sure you schedule time for wellness, whether it's a yoga class on YouTube or a walk around the block. Finally, make sure your downtime is actually downtime. People get screen fatigue, and it's one of the most significant and insidious sources for stress. Ms. Vergara says, don't get up from your desk, go to your couch, and pull up your phone. Put the phone down, prepare a meal, talk to someone in your household, or leave the phone at your desk and just go outside, even if you just do this for an hour. After all, home is where your habits live too. And the last article on healthy living is from April 13th, 2020, from the Nutrition Action newsletter. Exercise can seem overwhelming, especially in the midst of a pandemic. Why bother? Well, even after a relatively short bout of moderate intensive activity like brisk walking, we think better, says Kathleen Jans, professor of health and human physiology at the University of Iowa, and a member of the committee behind the 2018 Physical Activity Guidelines for Americans. We also sleep better, which includes falling asleep more quickly and more soundly, and sleeping more soundly. So, sit less, move more. The big number one, the average U.S. adult sits 6.5 hours a day. That was one hour longer than the average person sat in 2007. Too much sedentary time is linked to a higher risk of cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and some types of cancer, and even early death. How much is too much sitting? It depends on how active you are. There is this sliding scale where individuals who are very sedentary and aren't getting moderate to vigorous activities are at greatest risk of early death, says Jans. But as you increase your level of activity or reduce your sitting time or do both, your risk of dying is dampened. Bottom line, it's now more clear than ever that you shouldn't sit when you don't have to. Every bit counts. Under the old physical activity guidelines, to reach your moderate intensity aerobic exercise target, at least 150 minutes a week, each bout had to last about 20 minutes. That is no more the idea. Newer evidence shows no difference in health outcomes like blood pressure, blood sugar, body weight, and cholesterol in people who accumulated their moderate to vigorous exercise in episodes lasting either less or more than 10 minutes. This is really freeing because exercise can seem daunting. We now have evidence that's consistent with what we've been telling people for years. The things like park farther away from your office and take the stairs, because those little things add up. Bottom line, get your heart rate up as often as you can, even if it's just for a few minutes at a time. Need inspiration to stay active at home? If you're looking for something other than walking, jogging, or biking, the internet is full of resources to keep you motivated and your heart rate up. I'd say the internet and just regular TV, too. But on the internet, check out YouTube for thousands of exercise videos, including options for kids if you've got little ones with lots of energy. And if you have a membership to a gym, yoga studio, or other fitness studio, check with them to see if they're offering virtual classes. Many offer live classes on Zoom or have posted pre-recorded classes on YouTube. If you have Amazon Prime membership, search for exercise classes like Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, and much more on their Prime Video category. And these videos are free with membership. Fitness Blender also has over 800 free exercise videos. You can select one based on time, difficulty, or even the body parts you'd like to focus on. You have been listening to Healthy Living. If you have any questions or comments about the program, please call 210-829-4223. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Martha Etty. Thank you for listening, and goodbye from Al Radio.